for you to become a good shepherd? Okay, what would it take? What's hindering you? What would you need in order to become a good shepherd? Had some good responses. One of the questions was, what do you mean by being a shepherd? You mean I need to become a pastor? No, simply that you help somebody else in their knowledge of head, heart, and hands, their knowledge of God's word, their character, and their skill, just getting them going. We're going to be talking about that on Monday. So anyway, just thinking through that. Now, what I do when I get together with people, I want them to learn to study the Word of God. And I have Sunday morning, which takes a fair amount of time because I just want to do a good job on Sunday morning message. And I've got Sunday night, which is in a couple hours. And I've got Tuesday night Bible study and Friday night Bible study. And then I've got Bible studies throughout the week. I've got a Bible study at 6 in the morning on Saturday, and then Bible studies with different people that I do during the week. And so my cup's too full right now. I've just got too much going on because it's not giving me time to do evangelism. And I said, what can I do to get out of this? And I've been thinking through this whole thing. And so I went on the internet, and I've just found some good questions for Bible study. And so I took my youth group. We're about 20 people in youth group, and I just broke it up into three or four different groups, and I gave each one a piece of paper, and I said, I want you to do, I think it was Judges chapter 3 that we started off in, and so that we all did study on our own, and then we came back together and talked it through, and they loved it. They loved it. So I put a fair amount of work into this morning's message, and in tomorrow morning's message, and in Monday morning's message, and tonight's message, I put in about an hour, okay? And that's because you're going to do it. All right? So everybody needs a pen. Everybody needs a Bible. And we're going to hand these out. Okay? So, Miss Marcia, that's the way you say it in the South. Okay? If you would hand them out to people on that side. And here's what I need you to do. I need you to break up into groups. So I don't care if you scatter all over. Pull down more chairs. That's in your booklet, but it's a little bit small. Okay? It's a little bit small. So I really do. You need to get in groups of two or three, okay? You need to be working in groups. This is not, I want everybody involved. I want everybody doing something. I think we've got three there. Gerald? Okay. You guys want one of these sheets? Huh? Yeah? How about you? You want a sheet? Yeah. No? You can share with her? All right. I'm going to go ahead and give you, it's up to you. You're going to need the extra. You're going to need the sheet, though.
Okay, thank you.
Jonathan, you want one? Okay. It's up to you how you guys want to do this, okay? All right, guys, I want you to look up Psalm 1. Okay, is anybody lacking a sheet? Does anybody need a sheet? They don't have one. Yep, here we go, ladies. One. Excuse me? Yes, ma'am. I got two there, I think, don't I, Anna? You got one? Okay. Anybody else in the sheet?
Hopefully we have plenty for tomorrow night.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. All right. Okay, you guys are in groups? You guys are working in groups? Okay. What I want you to do, this isn't a big science thing. This is not an exact science of how you do it, but here's what I do want you to do. I want you to write out Psalm 1 in your own words. Okay, you're going to summarize it. And summarizing is not Jesus wants to be my shepherd, which is not Psalm 1, okay? That's not what it is. Summarizing, I just want you to go through Psalm 1 and write it in your own words as best you can. Now, you'll notice in that very first line, it says, write a summary of this chapter or paragraph. This happens to be both. After that, in one sentence, write the main teaching of this chapter. Okay? Okay? Then later on, you're going to say, if possible, write one question per verse. And then later on, what are you going to do? Some teachings. So as you're going through right now, you might find some questions. Well, just jump down a line and write, verse 2 and write out your question. Okay? So I'm going to give you 10 minutes. And then we're going to get back together. We're going to just talk. So I want you just to summarize it and then write it out. In a sentence, what you think the teaching of that chapter is.
So do the first
two. Excuse me? No, right now you're going to do the first one, which includes summary and main theme. That's all you're doing. You got 10 minutes. Da, 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 da. Summaries like this. You guys doing okay? Need more time or are you done? You don't, you're not to the end of your time yet? Okay, you're just kind of going on. Who is still working on their summary and controlling theme? Anybody? You guys are. Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay. Who wants to read her summary? Chuck, thank you. Oh, wait. Here comes the microphone.
Okay. Is it on?
Yep.
Okay. So my summary for Psalm 1 was Psalm 1 contrasts the godly man versus the ungodly man.
Mm-hmm.
The godly man is careful who he associates with,
yep,
and focuses on spending time with God in his word.
Mm-hmm.
The godly man flourishes like a well-watered tree.
Mm-hmm.
The ungodly have no stability or root either in this world or at the final judgment.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Somebody else. Gerald, thank you.
Summarize it correctly, but what I come up with is a peaceful, joyful, wisdom, knowledge, and a sober-minded thinking are what you have to look forward to in a life by abstaining from sin.
Okay.
And staying on the plan the Lord has provided guarantees satisfaction, stability in the mortal realm and everlasting life.
Okay. All right. Promises a blessing. Thank you. Thank you. Yes.
Well, I didn't know if you wanted to hear more. So.
Yeah. Great. Go for it, Jim.
Blessed is the person, because no man can be man. So blessed is the person who avoids bad worldly influences.
Yeah.
This person loves to obey God and meditate on his word.
Mm-hmm.
This person will continue to grow strong in the Lord through his word, and the Lord will prosper that person. The ungodly will perish, but the righteous shall live.
Okay. Very good. Anybody else? I'm sure there's somebody else out there who wants to share. Sure, Deb, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Evil leads to evil. Don't get caught and stuck in the spider web of evil. Spider web. You must do good, follow good to get good.
Okay, good. I like that about the spider web. Very good, very good. Abby. See, I have an ulterior motive for learning everybody's names.
I put God blesses the one who delights in God's word or law, who does not give in to temptation or associate with sinners. He is firmly grounded, and his strength in God is shown. Sinners are easily tempted and turn away from any teaching of God.
Okay. All right. Very good. Deb.
I just wrote, it simply does contrast the believer versus the unbeliever.
Yeah.
But my summary is, people are blessed
People are blessed when they choose to live their lives out by obeying and delighting in God's word and applying it to their lives.
Okay. Okay. Right. Good, 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 good. All right. I wrote this. Listen, guys, I'm simple, okay? I'm simple. I'm not as good as a spider web. The man who doesn't take the sinner's road, he doesn't delight with them, is blessed. He delights in God's word day and night. What is this blessing? Firmly planted tree by rivers of water, yields fruit in its time, his leaves don't wither, he prospers in all things. The wicked are like chaff, no substance, blown away. They won't stand in the judgment, they won't be with the righteous. And then final, the Lord watches over the righteous, but the wicked will perish. Okay? Now, this is going to be a little bit harder. What's the teaching? Now is when you come down to a sentence. And normally it's one sentence. Okay? Doesn't matter. You might have two. What's the teaching? Abigail. By the way, they say this is the hardest thing a theologian does, is find this one sentence in a paragraph. Yeah, no pressure. No? Listen, if you don't want to, Abigail, it's okay. Okay, go ahead.
I wrote benefits of walking in the way of the Lord.
The benefits of?
Walking in the way of the Lord.
The benefits of walking in the way of the Lord. Very good. Very good. Very good. Hannah, let me throw one thing at you. Normally you want a verb. Okay? Okay? Go ahead, Karen.
God's way leads to blessing and fruit. The wicked way will ultimately perish.
Okay. Right. Right. Yeah, okay, somebody else.
When you use the mic, it needs to get closer.
Marsha, I saw that. I saw you were communicating. Go ahead. Get that over there.
The blessed man, unlike the ungodly, prospers because he shuns evil and delights in God.
Say it again.
The blessed man, unlike the ungodly, prospers because he shuns evil and delights in God.
The blessed man, unlike
The ungodly prospers.
Wait, it's not ungodly. I go back. Okay, prospers, not proper, prospers.
Because he shuns evil.
Uh-huh.
And delights in God.
Technical point. Does it say he delights in God?
In God, in the word of God, law of God.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. Okay, we'll get to that later, but he delights in
the law of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Okay. A couple weeks ago, I was with a family, and they're very young in the Lord. And it's just really, really cool because we were doing John 1:1-5, which is not easy. To do a controlling theme to state John 1:1-5 in a sentence was not easy. And he said, oh, it's this, dun, dun, dun. I said, wait a minute, let me write that down. And then everybody else will say, wow, Bob, you're so good. You know, no, it's not. It's not me. Let me see, what did he say? John 1:1-5. He said, he said in Spanish, actually. He said, the God word existed with God before creation. By him comes light, life, and creation. Simple. Well, that was it. It's like, oh, okay, he got it good. Oh, he got it good. Okay, right. So that's the teaching. I wrote this. Once again, it's very simple, okay? The man who avoids evil and delights in God's word will be blessed in all things in its time. The Lord watches over him. The wicked will fail in the judgment, in parentheses, house built on sand. Okay? All right, good. Now, here's what I want you to do. Just take a few minutes. I want you to go through, and if you can, write at least one question per verse. Okay? If you get more, write more. For example, one of my questions was, why is this the first psalm? Right? Why is this the first psalm? Okay. Because this isn't the first one written. So why is it the first one?
So these are honest questions that we have.
Right. Yeah, honest questions. Okay? If you finish your questions and want to start working on teachings, what are the teachings? That's fine. It's John. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm all right. Good. Thank you. Well, y'all look busy, so. All right. Just because time is getting away from us. All right. Do you guys find this to be interesting?
Yes.
Psalm 1 is a well-known psalm. It's not a hard psalm, but it's a beautiful psalm. Okay? In other words, you guys all know this. You all know this. But as I studied this, it's just like the Spirit of God was impacting my life. You know, and I would imagine the same thing is happening with you. Okay? Could you do this in a... Could you do this with somebody else? I think you could. I think you could. Sure, you can get together and work with things. That's what I'm saying. You can shepherd other people. Doesn't matter if it's a Sunday school class or it's one-on-one or a small group or whatever. If I can get people involved, like even on Tuesday night when we do our Bible study, we're in Revelation 12, I say, all right, you got 5-10 minutes. I just want you to ask one question per verse. You know, and they all sit down. It's going in. It's going in. Okay? It works. It's not that hard. We can do it. All right. Now, I know you've all asked a bunch of questions. I'm going to skip that. Okay? I'm going to skip that just because we're running out of time. Let's just run to teachings. Now, if you have some questions there, you say, I want to know the answer. Okay? Then speak up. What's a teaching in verse 1? What are some teachings? What's a teaching? What's the teaching in verse 1? Oh, wait. Believers are blessed. Okay. Yeah. All right, wait a minute. Do all believers not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the seat? Do all believers follow that?
No.
Right. Okay, so what kind of believers blessed? Thank you. Right. Okay. We just changed the whole thing.
You know, I was thinking of that earlier. It was one of the questions. Like, we live in this world. Mm-hmm. Plus, we still sin ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We might not seek their counsel.
No.
But we put ourselves on our own path.
Okay. All right. Gerald, what teachings do you have from verse 1? Right. Exactly. Exactly. That's what you do in a study group. You throw it out there and you say, why do we run after the world? Why are we? Okay. What's your answer? How many of us have walked in the world for a number of years? Sure. Okay. So you walked in the world for a number of years. Lost years, right? Famine years, lost years. No good. No good. Dumb decisions, dumb stuff, lost. Okay. Why? Huh? Okay. In my case, it was because I got away from the Word. Got away from the Word, got into the world. That was my case. Was that your case? No. Okay, I'm talking as a believer. As a believer. Yes? Huge influence. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it purifies. It just works in us. It does. Yeah. Teaching is just a very simple teaching. Stay away from the counsel of the wicked. That's what it says. Stay away from the counsel of the wicked. Stay away from standing or sitting with scoffer sinners. And here's another thing. Probably because of poetics or poetry or whatever. I don't know the correct word. Anyway. Probably because of that, he doesn't say it. But isn't he saying, don't delight in the world? Isn't that kind of what he's saying? Because obviously we all live in the world. I mean, you're going to be with the world. You know, you have to stand, sit. You know, I mean, he's not saying that, because we're surrounded by the world. But I think maybe it's not, I'm at home, I'm delighting, I'm whatever. Right? Good. I had bunches of teachings or bunches of questions, probably you guys did too, from verse 1. Let's see, let me jump up there. Oh, what are some biblical examples of walking with the wicked? Men and or women in the Bible who walked with the wicked. What are some examples? Excuse me? Rehoboam? Yeah, you're going to watch him tomorrow. Fascinating. Tomorrow night we're going to do Samson. Fascinating. Fascinating. Okay? All right, good, good. We could go on. We could go on. Verse 2, what are some teachings from verse 2? Andrew, I see that hand. No, I know. What are some teachings from verse 2?
I think delighting means immersing yourself, so that meditating day and night, if you're really delighting in something, I found that I can read the Word of God, but if I'm not really delighting in it, where that's all I want to get, be getting in, that's what will lead me into sin.
Do you guys have a hard time of just simply reading the Bible day after day? Is that hard for you? It's hard for me to just read the Bible. I must study. I must ask questions, look, think. This kind of study for me is wonderful. It just makes me think. This is what helps me, but not everybody's like me. I can read the Bible for a while, and then I just, I need something else, okay? I personally never get tired of studying. I just like to study. I figure things out, things like that. So we're all different. We're all different. What helps you delight in God's Word? Okay. Just doing it. Okay? Yeah.
This. When we're all discussing it together, we're all, we study it for ourselves, the Holy Spirit speaks to us,
sure.
We share with others what we learn.
Right. Right. And once again, seriously, I put an hour into this. Okay? And there's no way that, you know, I can share everything that, you know, go ahead. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, we were sitting around last night, what's your favorite book of the Bible? And, you know, people were jumping through and we have different things, you know, that we like, things like that. Here's a question for you, delight. Isn't there something in Psalm 37:4? Does anybody know that? What's the difference? Yeah, what's the difference? Can you delight in the Lord and not delight in the Word, or vice versa? They kind of just dovetail, don't they? Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, delight. In fact, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Does the Bible say that? No, it doesn't. It does say Psalm 37:4. That's the chief end of man, is to delight. Yeah, okay. Okay. Verse 3. What's the teaching of verse 3? Listen, guys, you understand what we're saying here. You understand, this is supernatural. This is the supernatural realm. This is out of humanity. This is something the world doesn't have and they don't understand. Okay? What will God supernaturally do for the person who stays away from the wicked and he delights in the Word of God and he meditates day and night, which is not easy to do? Okay? What will God do? Jonah, I see that you don't have your hand up. Go ahead. You're beyond me. You're beyond me, Jonah. I didn't understand that. Okay. All right. Okay. Good. All right. Give me some, what's the teaching in verses 3 and 4? Oh, you see them all around. All right. So it's not only this tree, which, remember in the millennium, God says, my people will be like, the life of my people will be like the life of a tree. Okay, so God has this positive image of tree. And so he says, you're like a tree by streams of water. So God's always, right, he's always feeding you. And notice two things. Whatever he does prospers. All right, we'll just wait a minute. I know Bob's talking, so it's important. Okay, so there's two things he's going to say. First of all, he says whatever he does prospers, and he yields its fruit in its season. Why in its season?
I tell you what, let's go back to using the mics, though.
Oh, okay.
Because it is helping people.
Okay, and you know what? It's 8:03. Well, it's up. Yeah, okay.
Fruits come in seasons because that's the way God designed it. The trees bore fruit.
Okay, so, okay, I understand that. Trees bear fruit in season, but why does he talk about us bearing fruit in seasons?
Our spiritual growth is in seasons.
Okay.
Only a mature tree. So we are growing too.
You've got to go both ways now. So
okay. I said that a mature tree yields fruit, not an immature tree.
Okay.
No, we're the same way.
Okay. To an extent. Depends what kind. I'm sorry, to an extent, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Some trees are very young when they start bearing. Take a knee.
Amen.
All right. Is it true that sometime you have to go through trials before God can bring on that blessing? I mean, I know Christians who've gone through fire and Christians who haven't gone through fire. And what's fire do? Oh boy, doesn't it? Yeah, it just brings a depth. It just brings a depth. We have a new family visit our church once. They're retired, just moved back to Puerto Rico. And when I first met him, the first impressions was he was the kind of guy that scared me. Because he was very loud, and I was afraid that he was going to kind of guy who's going to come in the church and just kind of take over and be very vocal and be very controlling. And then I went over to his house and spent an hour with him after a couple days after his first visit. And they'd been through fire. They'd tried to plant a church as nationals with a pastor, and it just didn't work. And they really got burnt out. And you could tell. You can tell I found a humble spirit. You know, I found an open spirit. You know, not everything had to be done his way. You know, and it was good. It was good. Fire's healthy. Okay, fire's healthy. We're running through this. Do you guys see that?
Hello.
You guys see how we're running through this? Do you guys realize? Blessed is the man. Does that sound like Matthew 5? I mean, do you think Jesus got his thing from Matthew, from this? Couldn't it be? Don't know why not. Yeah. All righty. Yeah, we're running through. Yields its fruit. Leaf doesn't wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Do you know any Christians like that? Well, think about it. Think about it. Because here's the thing. When we look at Bible Christians, they're perfect.
Yeah.
But when we look at us, we're all not perfect. Okay? I have a lot of Bible heroes, and then I get to know them. And I find out they're not my heroes anymore. They're like everybody else. We all have failures. We just do. We all do. Okay? You asking a question or are you just saying yes?
Asking a question.
Yeah, okay.
I think that word prosper is important because, you know, we try to, you know, avoid the ways of the world, but we'll take a word like prosper and we'll apply the world's definition of prosper to that and we'll say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't always happen. But it does if we talk about it from God's perspective of prospering, you know, eternal life and that many of, you know, what
could you give me some biblical examples of men and women who prospered?
Well, David, for instance.
Yep.
I mean, he fell, you know, he wasn't perfect, but...
Yep.
He clearly was a man.
Prospered tremendously, and because for the love of David, how many times, I don't know, but how many times does God say that he spared this generation or he spared these people, right? Yeah, how many times, seriously, how many times because of your godliness Has God listened or done or acted? Okay? Prospered. Tell me some more individuals in God's word that he prospered.
Abraham.
Okay, Job. Are you raising your hand?
Solomon for a while.
Yeah, Solomon for a while. Yep. Yes. Yes. Joseph. Excellent.
Daniel.
Yep, Daniel. Paul and Peter. Any of the apostles? Any of the apostles? Yes, sir.
Esther.
Esther. Very good. People who prospered. People who prospered. Yep. Have you prospered? Would you ever trade anybody in the world? Would you ever trade with Bill Gates? You know, I thought about that. If you ever hit the lottery, I think I'd just turn it right over to the mission and let them have the headache. Because you know what the lottery does.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Talk to me about the wicked. The wicked are not so, but they're like chaff. What do you mean he's like chaff, which the wind drives away? Yeah, okay.
I don't want to sound dumb, but what is chaff?
Oh, sure. Chaff. Because I grew up in Nebraska, at least my understanding of chaff is what it goes around, for example, like the kernel of wheat, anything in that head of wheat. It could be, you know, all those little seeds, yeah, that fly away. Yeah, but chaff is even worse or less than that. Chaff is just kind of like the hull, but it's even less. It's just, in that sense, it just blows away. So the contrast is that it's not like a tree firmly planted. It's like chaff which the wind blows away. I hadn't caught that, okay? So the contrast is you have this huge tree out here, or you have the chaff which the wind blows away.
Here today,
gone tomorrow. Yep. All right, so the chaff, they're like chaff. Now, does he mean that they have, take this in the right sense, does it mean they have no value? You've been found, you've been weighed in the scales and found
wanting.
There is value.
Huh? There is value.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
well, when you look at chaff and wheat, and when you beat the grain and the wheat falls out, the chaff is what blows away. The wheat stays. But if you think about it from an individual perspective, everybody has value, but the believer has the meat, the roots deep in God. And the chaff is the people that don't. They just end up
going
away.
Yeah. Well, no, think about it. You go to Revelation 21 or 22 outside of the dogs, you know, and then he says the murderers, the liars, the immoral, the cowards. And I mean, a lot of unbelievers never killed anybody, but they have, you know, and maybe the situation wasn't there, but if the situation had been right, maybe he would have. But when God looks at him, he says, this is what you are. You know, when God looks at the heart of man. I mean, listen, I work very diligently with myself, with my eyes, my mind, my mouth. I work very diligently with myself. How many times do I sin a day? Come on, I know myself. I know myself. You know yourself. And I look at myself and I say, and you're the pastor, you know, and I know myself. And it's like, and what's an unbeliever like? You know, we have the Spirit of God. We have his help. Careful of that, Andrew. Okay. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. What's the difference? What's the teaching? What's the difference? Is there a difference here, or is it just the same way of...
Is it the same kind of stand as standing in the path of...
Well, that's a good question.
Yep.
Do you guys see? I hadn't thought of that.
The stand word, is that to endure, or is that the same kind of stand word as in verse 1, standing... In the path.
Are you asking if it's the same Hebrew word because this is QUM, and verse 1.
I think it may mean endure.
Walk is halak, to mean to go, to come, to walk. Or there's the word stand. Amad, take one stand. Okay, I don't do any Hebrew. I don't even know the little Hebrew runs the grocery store. I don't know any of that. Okay. What's it mean? The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous.
They won't last in the judgment.
Okay. Right.
What is the judgment of exactly? Like, of God?
I think so.
The righteous people.
No, I think this is the final judgment. That's what I understand, okay? Open it up if anybody has a different opinion. I understand that this is the final judgment. When you come to the final judgment, the wicked won't stand.
Is that the congregation of the righteous too? Are you saying the congregation of the righteous and the judgment are synonymous? That was the question. Go ahead. For me.
What?
Is the congregation of the righteous in the judgment, are they synonymous or are they two different things?
Yeah, I know. That was my question. And I thought, I hope Bob
knows
the answer.
No, it's my question. It can't be yours.
Well, give me a second. I said the assembly, this is what I was thinking. I said judgment would be that day, the day of judgment. The assembly would be the gathering of the saints in glory, which would be Hebrews 12. But you're coming to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable company of angels, saints, spirit made, men made perfect. So the general assembly and church of the firstborn, I'm just thinking that they have no place there. Okay, that's the way I take it. Okay, I'm not an expert on Psalm 1.
Oh, good.
That's the way I took it. Okay. Any other thoughts on verse 5? Does any of this resonate with Jesus' teaching? There was a man who built his house on the sand, and what came? The wind and the rain. And obviously because it was built on the sand, it didn't stand. Yeah, did Jesus get some of his teachings from Psalm 1? Probably. And so they just grew stories, you know, like spider webs. Okay.
Did he get some of his teaching from Psalm 1, or did he write Psalm 1?
Jesus?
Yeah.
David wrote Psalm 1. It's in book 1.
Did David write it? Sorry, point of order.
It's okay.
There's no known author to Psalm 1.
Listen, I'm really out of my league. Okay? I know that Psalms has 5 books. Book 1 is chapters 1 to 41. That's about the only division I know. And all of the Psalms in book 1 are attributed to David. That's what I know.
Okay?
But I haven't gone beyond that. Don't know.
Right.
Don't know.
I've asked him before because my Bible also does not state an author for Psalm 119, but Bob firmly believes that David wrote Psalm 119.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, there, see.
That's how I put it. I wrote, God is teaching us in Psalm 1, it's a warning and a remedy to man's sinful ways.
Okay. Not that hard, is it? It's not that hard. Here's what it is. You look at the situations of the world and you say there's so much chaos and nonsense and garbage and everything that would all be cleared up by this. It would just be cleared up by this. There's just so much that would be cleared up. How much of the OR would be cleared up because people didn't do dumb things? Well, some truth in that. Yeah, okay. Verse 6. Teachings from verse 6. Or questions? What does it mean that the Lord... Go ahead.
I have a question on the second part of it. The phrase that says, the way of the wicked will perish.
Yeah.
I wonder why it says that instead of saying the wicked will perish. Am I missing a nuance there? The way of the wicked will perish.
What do you guys think? Help me out.
There's comparing two ways.
Where do you see the other way?
The way of the righteous and the way of the wicked.
The way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. It's a comparison between two ways. Ways of living. That's what it means to me.
All right, now, okay. So what we're talking about is we have the way of the righteous, which is our lifetime, right? This is our way. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. I understand that to say God is watching over you. Is that what you guys understand? When he says the Lord knows your way, I have the idea that God is watching over me, guiding me, protecting me, blessing me, helping me. Would you guys agree with that? I can't get away from this. But the way of the wicked will take you where? So I wonder if that's what he's saying, but that's where that way takes you. That makes sense? Excuse me?
The way will perish as well with the wicked. At the end, at the judgment.
Okay. All righty.
Meaning, perhaps once we're with the Lord, there will be no more sin, no more of that way.
I think of the narrow road, the wide road, two different ways. Two roads.
Yeah.
You know, one leads to justice.
I'm going to take it that way, too. That's kind of where I would take it. This is the way.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, this way.
This is the way. Don't go that way.
The Lord is watching over this way, but this way is just going to take you right to destruction.
And that way is the righteous way, the narrow.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Questions, thoughts? All right, application. I have when I write a sermon, I normally work on these things. These are my questions. What's the relevance? What's the application? What's the life change that I'm wanting that person to take? Go do this. House built on the rock. If you go do this, this is what will happen. What is the core of the teaching? What does it tell me about God? Is there a doctrine I need to point out? And I also include the gospel. Okay, so when I work a message, these are all the things that I'm looking at, okay? So one of them is house built on a rock. If you do this, this is what will happen to you, okay? Psalm 1, if you do this, what will happen to you? If you follow the way of the Lord, you stay away from the way of the wicked, and you delight in God's word, what will happen to you? Okay? Can you expand on that? Prosper. Explain it to me. This will happen.
That was one of my questions. What does prosper mean?
Okay. What does prosper mean? Watch out there, Bob. Rodney wants to say something.
This means that you'll be a better person.
Okay, better person. Okay. How about this? Go ahead.
I think you have like joy and peace in circumstances that wouldn't normally have joy and peace.
Sure. Okay. Alrighty. How about this? Exodus 28. No, Deuteronomy 28, right? It's Deuteronomy 28, right?
We do need to start slowing down because we have the concessions.
We need to quit.
You gotta start winding down.
That's fine. Yes. I think Deuteronomy 28. Blessed is your kneading trough. Blessed is the fruit of the womb. Blessed are your cattle. Blessed is your crop. You will lend and not borrow. You will do, you know, many, many things. That's what I think of. God blesses. Okay? Doesn't mean I never have to take out a loan, but God blesses. God blesses. Anyway, if you were to drop a command out of this application, what is it? Huh?
Study your Bible.
Get in the Word. Okay. I didn't hear it, Zoe, but...
Meditate
Yeah, yeah, spend time in the Word of God. Yeah. I'm blessed to be a pastor. So that means when I meditate, I get to spend an hour. Because honestly, to spend less is hard for me. It's like I just don't get anywhere. But when I take a block of time, 15, 30 minutes, I get somewhere. It's helpful, okay? So if you can meditate on the Word, and you know what? If you can get others to meditate on the Word, what life change will you bring? That's why I have that emphasis on be a shepherd. Get other people in the Word of God. Gerald, you're it.
One more thing. I was just going to say, it says, blessed is the man, like favored is the man. I think of Matthew 6:33. If you seek God's righteousness, all the things that, all your needs, your clothing, your food, your shelter, everything you need, you don't worry about, it's taken care of.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. All the wicked run after these things, but your Father knows, you know, you have need of them. Good. Now, did you guys see I preach and you guys don't stay for half an hour extra asking questions and talking? No, true, isn't it? Isn't it true? We're just getting in the Word. This is simple. This isn't, you know, we're just in the Word. Anyway, all right, we're going to pray. And then we've got some slides to see, right?
Yeah, and we've got to find out. Sessions may or may not be open for a few moments, so we're going to find that out real quick. But yes, go ahead.
Okay, I didn't understand that, but that's okay. Okay. All right. Hey, let's stand up, shall we? Almost all of us. God, we are grateful. We are grateful for your Word. It teaches us so much. It just teaches us, God. It gives us encouragement, corrects us. Father, we're thankful. Thank you, God, for tonight. Just what a wonderful time. Just meditating on your Word as a group. And none of us have all the answers. But you talk to all of us. God, we thank you. We just thank you. We worship you. Thank you. Thank you for this time, Father. And may it be so in our lives that we would stay away from the path of the wicked, of delighting in that, in the counsel. And that you would help us to meditate on your Word and get others to meditate on your Word. We just pray. We pray and ask you to continue to bless the rest of our evening. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
I think I'm on. So here's we're going to do the slides for Israel, but yeah, we do. Yeah. But the concessions, I think, is supposed to, what time is it now? Yeah, I think the concessions are supposed to be open like from 8:15 to 8:30. So why don't we take 10 minutes, okay? And we can run up there if anybody wanted something right now, just to see if they're open. And then we're going to start in 10 minutes with the video or with the slides, okay?